This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Howdy, third hour coming from our Rocket Mortgage studio. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time. Rocket Cantique and Tierney, third hour, a couple hours away from the draft. This hour, Avery Johnson, former NBA player, obviously won a championship, couple with the Spurs coach, CBS Sports HQ analyst. We love the little general. Avery has been on many times. Great guy. Did a few big three games with him, too. Just a good dude. He's going to join us, get into some of these prospects that will get drafted tonight. And, by the way, we had a pretty good chat. I thought it was really good. Terrence Crawford on previous hour. And we got into a multitude of things, like why would you fight Pacquiao? And probably most important from that, if you're a big boxing fan, you want to go check this out, radio.com, Apple iTunes, youtube.com/Tiki and Tierney. We got into the weeds of the Bob Arum situation. Arum just lit him up, basically says he doesn't do any promoting. A couple of expletives were thrown in there by Bob Arum, said I'm tired of wasting my money on this guy, he doesn't promote himself. It was really good. As you know, Crawford's a man of few words, but we got a good sense of where he stands on everything. So that, again, radio.com, Apple iTunes, youtube.com/Tiki and Tierney. All right, what is up with the Big Ten this year? And Do you have a theory?
Well, the obvious issue, BT, is that they weren't going to play football. Think about this, right? They just said, you're in camp, same time as football, actually, probably before football, NFL football, that is, in early August. You're working out, you're doing all these things, and all of a sudden it just stops. And, you know, a couple months later, end of August, mid-August or so, they start saying, well, we're not going to play a season, and then they cancel the season. So all of a sudden, you're not playing football. And instead of focusing on, obviously, schoolwork, you got to say that. But instead of focusing on schoolwork and practice, you're focusing on, like, rallies and, you know, protests and petitions and all this stuff to just to get back on the field. Now, I think they were still practicing. You know, it was probably an odd schedule that was going on with a lot of these teams. But then just like that, they get new testing procedures and protocols and a partnership with a testing company. And it's like, all right, we're going to play games in a month. And so, of course, it's just disrupted and disjointed and getting back up to speed. It doesn't just flow easily by showing up. And I think that in its core is the biggest issue. And as a result, the teams that are more veteran and have older players, like in Indiana, like a Northwestern, like a Wisconsin, Ohio State, obviously, they're just loaded. They could play with their freshmen and still probably be, you know, one of the top teams in the Big Ten because of how they recruit. But, and so you're starting to see these other schools become, you know, have more viability because they're better prepared than some of these other ones. And, you know, we've talked about Michigan a lot. We've talked about Penn State a lot. But I think it's I don't know if there's anything wrong with the Big Ten, other than the fact that the Big Ten wasn't going to play football this year.
And they
had to ramp it up real quickly.
I'm not going to totally buy that theory, Teague, and I'll tell you why. If the Big Ten had their season pushed back as they did, obviously, but they were able to, completely implausible given the current state of the world, but just imagine, if they were able to schedule a non-conference game or two, all right? And they looked lackluster there, then what you just said would hold it would carry a lot of weight because, well, the schools that they're playing non-conference, if there's a mixed bag of results, some losses that should not occur, favorite teams losing, I can then say, well, you know what, maybe mentally they didn't really think they were going to play in the other conferences.
Yeah.
They had a more of a direct pipeline, the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12, et cetera, outside of the Pac-12. To actually playing, they're not losing to other conferences. What I think happened is that, now maybe there's something to be said for the veteranness, if you will, of those teams. That's an interesting angle. But I think what happened last year is that while Minnesota is a great story, one-year pop.
Yep.
I think
Penn because they were veteran last year, right?
But they were also talented. Like,
that's what I mean.
Just go 11-2 because
you're
veteran.
That's what I mean. But they had some talent team that left. They were seniors, juniors, and seniors went to the league. And
how many guys they lose to the NFL in the first round?
And I think
we're in the second round.
One, maybe?
They're not many.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. But they still lost seniors. You know what I mean? There was a ton of kids that I played with at UVA who they weren't playing in the National Football League, but they were invaluable to our success. You know, I'm just telling you, it's what it is.
Well, but the Big Ten's not the only school that has seniors that graduate.
I know, but you're talking about Minnesota specifically.
Well, Penn State.
That's what happened. Penn State, their offensive line is garbage.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. They're not that good.
And their quarterback, Sean Clifford, who was good last year, looks lost because he doesn't have time to get rid of the ball. By the way, he lost his top wide receiver.
And
KJ,
tight end.
And tight end. But his top wide receiver, KJ Hamler, left early. I think he was a redshirt sophomore. Left early to go to the league, and he's now in Denver. Mm-hmm. They lose their top running back, Journey Brown, to medical retirement. Like, he had to retire from the sport.
I know. And their top defensive player is not playing this year.
And their top defensive player. So, of course, there's going to be issues with a team like that. And Penn State's not deep. Like, they don't have, like, five stars sitting on their bench that they're waiting for their opportunity. So when you lose guys like that, you're going to suffer.
Well, hold on. They don't know. Indiana doesn't have four-star guys sitting on the bench. Penn State's got a slew of highly recruited guys.
I'm not so sure, BT. I'm not so sure, BT.
I'll check. I can verify. There's a way to verify that. I'll do that in a minute. So last year, Penn State, I just think they were overrated last year. Penn State was 11-2. They're 0-4 this year.
Minnesota was good. I watched them play, BT.
Right.
They were good.
Okay. Minnesota's 11-2 last year. They're 1-3 this year. Iowa last year was good. They're 10-3. They're okay at 2-2 this year. They started poorly. We know Michigan's story, 9-4. They're 1-3. Nebraska was a mess last year. They're a mess this year. Listen, I just don't think the conference is that good.
Who said it has been that good?
Well, but they had three teams ranked inside the top 10 to start the season. Penn State was number 8.
That
Michigan was number 9.
That was all on reputation. It had nothing to do with anything.
Don't you think the people who – I'm not – listen, a lot of it is reputation. I'm not trying to argue something that is inarguable. I got that. But don't you think the people collectively who – and the coaches who vote on this, the coaches poll – they know which guys left, but they still know who's there.
Yeah.
So even if there's a slight...
Chemistry matters, man.
I know it does. But even if there's a slight inflation, like, all right, Penn State was number 8 coming into the season, you know, they really should have been 14. They're not even 44. Like, they are so woefully off the mark. It can't just be because they lost players. You're Penn State. When you rank top 10, you got studs coming in.
Yeah.
Find a way to win a game.
Yeah, well, they can't. And some of it is circumstance, like the Indiana game, which they lost because their running back, forget his name, Noah something, didn't go down at the, you know, and should have gone down. Would have been like an ugly win, but they would have won. Instead, Michael Penix Jr. has an unbelievable, you know, drive and then two-point conversion and then wins it in overtime. They score to tie the score, and then they go for two, and they win. And so it just started this spiral for Penn State, and then it just got worse from there. I mean, I think there's excuses for every team. I mean, it's really only Penn State and Michigan that we're talking about here that were
and Minnesota.
Over,
Minnesota was a great story.
Yeah,
come on, PJ Fleck, a good
you
coach.
Said it. You said it exactly right, BT. It's a great story.
Yeah, but they shouldn't be 1-3.
It was a great story. I don't think that they were they weren't building a program that was going to be, you know, viable for the college football playoff perennially. It's not in their history.
And by the way, Penn State had more recruits, had a higher ranking than Notre Dame did last year. They were 15th.
Notre Dame wins by coaching. BT.
Well, but they also get studs. They get stud offensive linemen who are 5 stars.
I'm just telling you.
They get 2 stars and coach them up.
Notre Dame wins by coaching. I know. They do. They're studs. But Trust me, Notre Dame wins by coaching.
So Franklin's not a good coach?
There's a lot of people who don't think he's a good coach.
But he was a good coach last year when they were 11-2.
Circumstances, I guess. I don't know.
What does that mean?
I don't know. You have good talent. You have good talent. BT, I did the Ohio State game. You know what I mean? Not Ohio State, the Whiteout game. Penn State and Michigan.
Game. I remember, yeah.
Michigan.
Sure.
And
yeah.
Michigan was good at that point. They had a really good defense. Michigan brought all-out pressure, and Sean Clifford kept his composure and threw a go route to K.J. Hamler because the Michigan cornerback was squatting. You come all out. You come cover, blitz zero. Mm-hmm. You're throwing a quick hitch. Instead, they ran a go, and it was a wide-open touchdown. That was the difference. That was the difference in the game. And then, obviously, the Michigan wide receiver, I'm forgetting his name now, but he dropped a touchdown pass that would have tied it. And so, look, they were good, but they had really good players last season. And Michigan was the same way. Michigan has a quarterback issue. They changed their offense. Josh Gattis is their offensive coordinator now. And, remember Dylan McCaffrey?
Yep.
It was Christian McCaffrey's brother. He's supposed to be the quarterback. Shea Patterson leaves. It's Dylan McCaffrey's job, man. Something happens. He opts out of the season, and he's transferring somewhere. Mm-hmm. Okay, Joe Milton. No, Joe's been there in the program for 3 years. He's going to be, their next guy. Joe Milton's terrible. He throws interception after interception. Going back to Indiana, he threw four in a row. Four possessions in a row, they had interceptions with Joe Milton. He's just not good. In fact, so they replace him with Cade McNamara, who people are like, who the heck is that kid? And he's the bridge. They got to wait for this new kid who's coming in from IMG Academy. I wrote his name down.
I forget his name.
I can't remember. J.J. Yeah. McCarty is his name from IMG Academy. He's coming in as a 5-star recruit. He's guaranteed to be successful. But
who's going to coach him next year?
That's why I think Harbaugh's going to stay there.
Is he going to flip when Harbaugh leaves? Is he going to go somewhere else?
I think that's why Harbaugh ends up keeping his job. But I mean, it is. It's circumstance is too easy of a catch-all. But I think it is
that's what I was saying.
But I think it is a lot of circumstance, BT, and especially for the teams that we're talking about, because Minnesota, I never believed that they were going to be as good this year as they were last year. Penn State, there's always been this, and talk to any Penn State fan, there's this underlying distrust of James Franklin's ability to coach and motivate and prepare his teams. Yep. And we saw that against Indiana, by the way. Not Indiana. Who was the first game they lost to?
They lost to wasn't Maryland, was it? I know Maryland beat them. Was it that the first game?
No, I can't remember now, but whoever it was.
Every game they played, they lost, so.
Exactly right. And then Michigan, it's the quarterback again. It's the same conversation over and over again with Michigan and Jim Harbaugh. So is there anything wrong with the Big Ten? No, there's not. Ohio State is still dominant. Wisconsin is right where we expected them to be and playing really good football. You lose some guys of the pros. Guess what? We got four other hogs up front that are going to be all pros in the NFL and a running back who can get it done. And then you get the Cinderella stories like Northwestern. Pat Fitzgerald does an unbelievable job of recruiting and coaching those guys. Mm-hmm. They're always in the conversation. And Indiana is having a once-in-a-lifetime year because they're a veteran team with a really good quarterback in Michael Penix Jr. So I don't think there's anything wrong. I think we look at Michigan and Penn State and say, God, they should be powerhouses. But they're just not.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yes, there are certain teams that will always ride the wave of inflation. I agree. Whether it's an average Duke team, put Duke in the top 10, they're Duke. Mm-hmm. Same with basketball. Same with North Carolina hoops. Same with Kansas. Not that Kansas is ever really down. But, I get it. Even Syracuse. How many times Syracuse has started the season, even though Boeheim's great, and we certainly wish Coach well with his battle with COVID.
Yeah, I saw that the other day.
I know. But there's been a few times over the course, I've watched my whole life back to the days of the Big East where, and back then they were legitimately top 25. They've had some sporadic seasons in the last 10. They've had a couple of some leaner ones, but they've still started a season 25. It just looks good. The AP top 25 is out. Syracuse, it just looks better than Boise State. I mean, they punctuate, they do that. So I understand that there's a false overestimation. Notre Dame is not Alabama. Last time they were on the field and they get destroyed. Penn State is not Alabama, is not Clemson. They're not Ohio State. So we do inflate these teams, but we can't lose sight of the fact that all the teams we're talking about were really good last year, even if it was based on the circumstances. Mm-hmm. And the drop is so precipitous. It's not like we're sitting here and they're 2-2, 3-2, 2-3, and we're sitting here saying, This is kind of a weird start. They're deplorably bad.
But if you go back to the beginning of the season, there was a narrative that I don't know if we talked about a lot or enough on this show, but and it's all conferences. It's not just the Big Ten. But because every conference did conference only, you end up chewing each other up. A lot. By the way, Penn State's first game was Indiana. I couldn't remember what it was. It was Indiana. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that loss doesn't look as bad now than Indiana.
That's true, but what about the three other losses they have?
Again, Sean Clifford got benched. That's all I got to say. He's a starting quarterback. He was a stud last year. People were saying, man, this kid might have a shot at doing something, you know, in Heisman Trophy conversations, and he got benched. So, is that on him, or is that on the fact that they had no offseason and, you know, there's new players around them, the offensive line has been playing bad? Like, what is it?
I don't know. Yeah, all I know is winless.
They're winless, and it is what it is, but it's just two teams. I think the other teams in the conference are doing well. But my point was you chew yourself up by playing conference-only games because there is no respite from teams that know you really well and coaches that know each other really well. Yeah. And that's happening right now, unfortunately, to the Michigans and the Penn States of the world, and it's those are the ones we would have thought it wouldn't have happened to because they've been around for so long.
To your point, and we'll break here because we have Avery Johnson coming up, getting to the NBA draft tonight. He's an analyst, CBS Sports HQ, really good on the air with these players, knows them all, coached at Bama, obviously follows this stuff night and day. I will grant you this. If it was a conventional season and, you know, Penn State starts and they beat, I don't know, just Central Michigan, they beat Akron, and they're 3-0, and then they lose to Indiana, the fervor is different.
Yeah.
I understand that. It looks really heinous when you're 0-4 and Minnesota's 1-3 after an 11-win season, then Iowa's middling at 2-2 and Michigan's deal. If you had a few fluff wins on the left side of the column, it would change the energy. But I don't, the energy of the conversation, I don't know that it would change the fact that it's not that good of a conference. I never said it was.
It's always been top heavy. Yeah. It's significantly top heavy.
Well, they need Nebraska to get their act together
people,
one of these years.
People used to say the SEC was top heavy. Oh, it's only Alabama, and you know maybe it's LSU.
Not true.
Maybe it's Florida,
Georgia.
No, yep, exactly.
A&M. No, not true.
It is not true in the SEC. Yes, the bottoms suck. Like Vanderbilt stinks right now. South Carolina stinks right now.
Yep.
But it's not just one or two at the top. There's four or five viable teams always. It seems like. In the SEC. The Big Ten, they're top heavy.
Okay. All right. Listen, good conversation. Good stuff right there, Teague. I enjoyed that. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that as well. Avery Johnson, NBA champion, Spurs point guard, a little general, coach, and in the NBA in college, analyst. We'll get his thoughts on all the names you want to know about tonight. Who should my team draft? All the names you need to know and want to know more about, you will get that next right here on Teague and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Need replacement parts and tools for your repair, maintenance, or restoration project? O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. They know what it takes to get the job done right the first time. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. So when it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see their selection. The professional parts people will help you find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install the wiper blades free of charge. Or, if your battery needs to be replaced, their professional parts people can help you find just the right battery for your vehicle, like SuperStart batteries, exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts, designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a SuperStart battery. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop by an O'Reilly Auto Parts store or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
All right. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Teague and Tierney is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent their home, sure you do. Geico makes it easy to bundle renters and car insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote. Just go to Geico.com. Easy. It is not going to be easy identifying who's going to be a player in this league and who's not, because there are no real locks. There's going to be a lot of good players. There always are, but there'll be busts because there's always busts too. But no real consensus for the first overall pick. Maybe it's Edwards. Maybe it's Ball. Maybe it's James Wiseman. Maybe it's a trade. We need some answers, and we have enlisted our former coach. I'm sure he'll be a coach again. He's an analyst, CBS Sports HQ. He was in the college game for a couple of years at Bama, championship player for the Spurs, and just an overall good guy. We love him. The little general, Avery Johnson. What up, Coach? How you doing today?
Hey, how you guys doing today? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, of course, man. You know it. It's really good to have you, and I know that you've been up to your ears with the draft stuff. It seems overly complicated or overly nebulous, I think I should say, this year. There's not a lot of intel, no NCAA tournament, so you couldn't gauge the guys who might go in the first round, couldn't really judge them in pressure situations, a lot of international players, as always. You're picking first overall. Say if you're under the T-Wolves, what are you doing, Coach? Let's start with that. Who are you taking first overall?
I'm taking Anthony Edwards. Freshman guard out of Georgia. Had an outstanding freshman year. Really put on a show early in the season in the Maui Classic. This kid, you know, has an NBA body. He's a freak athlete. Has superior athleticism. He'll be a much improved shooter at the next level, can create his own shot. This kid, I'm not going to say can't miss, because there's not a can't miss guy in this draft.
Yep.
A la Tim Duncan, you know, or guys like that. But this kid is outstanding, and I think he's a really good fit to go along with Karl Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell.
And by the way, he's going to be, and he's obviously going top five. If he goes first, we'll see. He very well might, but he'll become only the second Georgia Bulldog to go top five. Dominique Wilkins pulled that back in the day in the early 80s. You know, the only thing, Coach, that worries me, and Teek and I were talking about this, I know you saw the quotes, and you don't want to read too much into quotes. He's a young man, and maybe the tongue got tied, maybe the brain got cluttered. It happens. It happens to grown men, so it can certainly happen to a young kid. But, you know, he basically said he loves football more than he loves basketball. Like, that would really worry me. That, no concerns with that?
No, not at all. I think what he was saying was he loves to watch. He loves, oh, I wouldn't read too much into it. I've been watching this kid like a lot of these kids because I coached in college since they were in 7th and 8th grade. So this kid loves basketball. He'll be in the gym at midnight working on his game.
Okay.
Then if he doesn't have a game on Sundays, he'll be watching
it. Yeah, basically what Avery said, because I think he cut out a minute there. He said he loves watching football more than he loves watching basketball, which I can get. You know, Coach, this offseason is so short. It's truncated. There's going to be hardly any time for acclimation for some of these young kids. And I wonder, you know, for the one team in the top of the draft is the Golden State Warriors, who can be viable right away. Do you think that influences who they want to draft? And they don't have time, so to speak, for a project. They need to draft someone, I said Obi Toppin, who can come in, who's mature, can play right away, contribute, and get it. You know what I mean? Because he's sort of a grown man in a college game. You know, do you think that's possible for a team like the Warriors? Or would it be more prudent for them to move out and try to get some assets somewhere else?
Well, TJ, I think this is an instant replay on our 1997 situation and draft. You know, we were with those Spurs. We were 22-60, I think, that year, and we ended up with the first pick. And we had the rest of our players coming back that were injured. And we said, look, Tim Duncan is a no-brainer. This guy, we need to win now. So whatever the projections are on anybody else, we're taking Tim Duncan. And that's why I really believe – that the Golden State Warriors, if he's sitting there at number two, as much as I love Obi Toppin, player of the year last year in college, had one of his games on CBS Sports Network, I think the Warriors are going to take James Wiseman because he solves a lot of their interior issues, especially when Draymond's not in the game. I know they like to play small, but they got to play against, you know, Anthony Davis in the Western Conference, a lot of the big guys, you know, so I believe Porzingis. So I believe that the Warriors at number two, if he's sitting there, they're going to take James Wiseman. But don't be surprised if they take a kid like LaMelo Ball, who I heard blew them away in his workouts for the Warriors.
Well, let's get to LaMelo a little bit here. You know, I think any concerns about his dad being a pain is that's been mitigated. That's not what nobody's worried about that anymore. That's over. So now you deal with the kid's body type, you deal with the IQ, you deal with the playmaking ability. You know, I know he's got range, although he is erratic. He didn't shoot the ball well over in Australia, but he makes players better. I mean, are you fully sold on LaMelo? And if not, what is the reservation at this point, Coach?
Well, I think I'm not concerned about his dad because, you know, you look at the way these NBA teams are set up. They're not college teams, right? They don't have to cater to parents. And I've been in both situations. I would say with LaMelo, this is a kid that's basically had the NBA and the lottery on his mind since he was a baby, basically. And that was because of his dad's leadership. And, you know, I've seen him playing some big games, both in high school, AAU level. The kid is an unbelievable passer. I think he's an above-average shooter. I think he shoots it better than his brother. I think my concerns would be, like with a lot of these kids, you know, he has to get a lot stronger and tougher physically. But they're kids, and I just want to see how his game translates to the NBA, especially in the half court. Sure, we've seen him on the break. You know, he can pass it. He can shoot it from all three levels. But what happens when the game slows down and he has to play in the half court and really have to have that high level of basketball IQ and savviness that you need, especially at the point guard position?
So we're talking to Avery Johnson and many coaches. He's coached many players. He won a championship with the Spurs. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Avery, what do you do if you are the Houston Rockets? Now, obviously, they've turned over coach, general manager. James Harden's not going to sign his deal. He wants them to leave and go to the Nets. Yes, you're I don't want to say stuck, but you are. You're stuck with Russell Westbrook right now. What's the path for the Houston Rockets right now? Is this a complete rebuild, or what do they do?
You know, guys, what I've heard, when you come on Tiki and Tierney, you got to tell the truth, right?
That's right, Coach.
That's right.
Sing it, baby. That's right. That's right, Coach. Chirp it.
Yeah, the Rockets, man, they should trade Harden and Westbrook and start all over again.
Yeah,
this is a rebuild. This is the textbook rebuild. And here are a couple of facts. Even if Westbrook and Harden returns, there's a high probability that they're not going to make the playoffs next year. You have the Warriors. They're coming. The Warriors are going to be a top four team, barring any unforeseen
injury. Yep.
Phoenix Suns traded for Chris Paul to go along with Devin Booker and their roster, Monty Williams.
Yeah.
You have teams like the New Orleans Pelicans and the Memphis Grizzlies
Denver.
On the outside looking in. Denver, Dallas, to go along with the Lakers and the Clippers and you know, those teams at the top. So I really believe this is a situation they're going to be disgruntled, unhappy. You're not going to have any really good chemistry because they just don't want to be there.
Yeah.
The same way Anthony Davis didn't want to be in New Orleans. So this is a textbook opportunity to start all over again, especially with guys that have those really inflated contracts where you can try to get some draft picks and look to the future.
Yeah. Totally agree. And T agrees too.
Yeah, but 100%.
My concern would be, let's say the destination is Brooklyn. That's where he wants to go. If I'm Houston, I'm not going to send him there just because he wants to go there. If that's the best deal that I could get, then that's where I'll ship him. I'm going to put him out there, and I'm with you. For sale sign, best offer, we handle business, and we trade him. But if it does become Brooklyn, I don't think Durant will have an issue adapting. I worry about Kyrie Irving, who's moody and a little erratic in terms of his personality, in terms of on the court. Not away from him. He's a good guy, but he's just you don't know which Kyrie Irving showed up in a locker room every night. And then you got James Harden, who's used to, he's got among the highest usage rates in the game. So if your coach, and you have a rookie coach, I mean, between those three guys, I know it looks good, it sounds good, they're going to score 150 points a game, but would they win a championship, Coach?
Well, I believe that you have a situation where the coaching staff is reinforced by the assistants. So, you know, I had an opportunity to be Steve Nash's teammate for a year, and he's an incredible guy. He'll be a rookie coach, but they're supported by Jack Vaughn, who's got years of coaching experience at the head coaching level and assistant coaching level, you know, from the Spurs. And now you have Mike D'Antoni, who's, you know, been a head coach, you know, pretty much all of his career. So I think the support from the coaching staff is there. The support from ownership is there. One of the best things that can happen to James Harden is, you know, his usage rate really is reduced a little bit because of guys like Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, being able to take some pressure off him.
Yeah.
James Harden is committed more on the defensive end. So I think this is a great opportunity. It could work. You know, they're in the Eastern Conference. I'm not sold on any team in the Eastern Conference. And if Kevin Durant's healthy and Kyrie Irving is healthy and in the right mindset, this would definitely be my pick to come out of these.
Well, Avery, let me ask another question, because there's a Woj bomb that just dropped that Al Horford is being traded a first and second round pick to the Thunder for Danny Green, and it's less about Al Horford and his impact, et cetera, but. You know, BT actually brought this up, I don't know, months ago, saying James Harden should be traded, maybe about a month ago, should be traded to the 76ers as opposed to any other team. This was before he even had indicated that he wanted to leave. And if James Harden went to the Sixers, do you see them as being a viable team? Because what they've lacked, obviously, is a shooter.
Yeah, absolutely. When you're talking about the Sixers and my good friend Doc Rivers who's taking over that program, they got to have guys that can spread the floor, especially if they're going to move Ben Simmons back to the point guard spot. So if you're looking at the Sixers, and I had a chance to go and watch them play last year, I just saw the floor shrinking, and Ben Simmons didn't have enough room to operate. So anybody that they can add to that roster to spread the floor, it's the new NBA. The new NBA is not about ground and pound. It's about spreading the floor, you know, giving guys an opportunity to operate in space. And because of Ben Simmons' lack of shooting ability, you need to surround him with as many shooters as you can if he's still on the team and not involved in the trade.
So you get a shooter here, maybe that means that Embiid's going to be the one that's going to be shipped out. Maybe they keep Simmons. You get a shooter in Danny Green. You surround him with shooters, as Coach said. I don't know. Could be the first move of another move. I wish we had a lot more time. I want to finish it the way we started, at least with the draft. One more thing, Coach. Not too long. The guy that I feel is getting overlooked, and I would love to see my team get him at number 8. I think he's going to be gone because I think there's a smokescreen. Tyrese Haliburton. I love his arms. I love his intelligence in terms of his length and, you know, what he can cover. I love his IQ. He's a great locker room guy. The shot's a little ugly looking, but it's efficient, kind of like Sean Marion. Looks a little wacky, but it goes in. Are you a Haliburton fan? I'm a big fan. Do you like him?
Love the kid. 6'6", long rangy, can play multiple positions, capable three-point shooter, a high basketball IQ. You know, got injured last year, but, you know, this is a kid, you played in the Big 12. I like his ceiling. This kid has the talent, Haliburton, to potentially be a perennial all-star. So I think, you know, he really projects well, and not just in the immediate, but long-term for any team that drafts him. So I'm definitely a buyer. When it comes to Haliburton,
you could just see him making plays in conference, you know, down the road, conference finals, yes, NBA finals. Like, he's just that kind of guy, that kind of player. Yes. Coach, we're a little late, but it was great having CBS Sports HQ. Keep doing a great job. I know you guys are all over the coverage tonight. Thanks a lot, Avery. We appreciate you, buddy.
Okay, I'm about to jump on HQ right now to talk about that trade.
Go get paid, guys. Brother.
Okay.
See ya. Go get paid. All right, we're late. Update, interesting trade. Tiki and I can circle back to that after Axe update. Then we'll go with the blast. Ack right now. All right, time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. And as I was hoping, we got a lot of options on the draft here. I was hoping we'd kind of go in that direction. Corey in Minnesota went in that direction. He says, guys, do you think LaMelo Ball going to Europe is going to make you more prepared to succeed in the NBA? I would say, Tiki, just another chapter in his very unique arrival. It's a long, winding road, a less traveled road. But I think that's watching his brother go through it, the microscope with his pops, big baller brand, and playing with grown men across the world. I think that will all accelerate his development. He's now, I don't know, I don't know if he ever shoots 40% from downtown, but if he fails, which he won't, will be because of the skill set or the lack of preparedness. It would not be because of the lack of readiness.
Yeah, I don't think it prepared him. Remember, the whole Lithuania thing was a disaster. There was a language barrier, so he was not coached at all during that time. And then when he went to Australia or Australia? Or was it it was Australia. It just, he was unproductive, and it was, you know, there was, it wasn't ever cohesive. I think he's a talented player, so I think he's going to be fine either way, but I don't think being international helped him at all.
Well, even if he went to college, though, wouldn't have played in the NCAA tournament. It was
rubbed
out.
True, but he would have had a, he would have had a legitimate coach.
That's true. That's true. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day.
We act too much like coaching doesn't matter. It does.
No,
it
for sure.
It teaches you the little things that matter.
It does. Some of the instincts you're born with.
Mm-hmm.
The other stuff is pulled out of you. No question. Oh, I would never minimize coaching. No way. By the way, Terrence Crawford was with us, the welterweight champ. Great stuff. Got into the Arum stuff. Got into the Pacquiao possible fight. Radio.com, Apple iTunes, YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney. Give it a shot. Good stuff. Right now, we hit the blast. Let's go, D-Cell.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Moving on up, got a couple of high-risers this week in the power poll, according to NFL.com. The Cardinals and the Rams have both cracked the top 10, and we want to know which of these teams has a higher ceiling this season.
That's a good question.
It's a great question.
It's a hard one. They're both tied, obviously. I think the Rams offense has the potential to get better. Because they're running the ball really well with Henderson, and they can score. Jared Goff is steady. Their defense is great. I'm probably going to say the Rams.
I'm going to say the Rams, too.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is look at the great young Jalen, still somewhat young, Jalen Ramsey, who just blanketed DK Metcalf. You've got that. I think they can win more styles than the Cardinals can win.
Yeah.
Cardinals want to, you know, get into that 37-ish, 35, 40-ish threshold, and sometimes they do. But, you know, I think the Rams could win a 17-13 game where they ground and pounded a little bit. Whitworth's injury could be a problem, will be a problem.
Yeah, will definitely be.
For sure. Even though he's basically 40 as a left tackle, he's still really good. I'm going to say the Rams. I agree with you on that, Teague. All right, yesterday Mike Tomlin put to bed any notion that the Steelers were taking the Jaguars lightly this week.
I'm not into the trap game discussion. I understand that that's things that you guys like to talk about. But this is the NFL, and more than anything, the guys know my attitude regarding that. We are not a Big Ten team playing a MAC opponent this week. Every time we step into a stadium, we're playing professionals, players and coaches. And we got a ridiculous level of respect for that. And so, you know, write your story, man. Follow your storylines about trap games and things of that nature. We understand what we're going into in Jacksonville, that's a group that's trying to kick our butt, a professional group, a capable group, and we're preparing with that understanding.
That's great stuff there by Mike Tomlin. So we want to know, are trap games real? Yeah, they could be real, but first of all, the fact that they still have a zero in the loss column is motivation enough to come in with you would hope, razor focus, Tomlin's presence and what he espouses. That's, you'll feel that will volley and bounce off the walls and it will be received because that's they love Tomlin. Trap games are real, but yeah. I don't think it applies here.
No, I agree with you. The trap games are real, but forget the trap games. I love Mike Tomlin. I love how he messes with people so badly and says it so like profound. Like, he's messing with you. He's talking about MAC games. He's talking about MAC games because of Miami of Ohio is a MAC game, and Ben Roethlisberger went to Miami of Ohio. So he sends these subtle like he's playing with you, and you don't even know it, right? Because he's so damn serious in how he speaks, which is why he's great.
He's definitely great. Or he just, you know, saw on the Sports Center that the MAC was playing last night, and it was centrally on his mind.
No, I don't think so.
I don't know that he attacked that. Big Ben, you think so?
I'm pretty sure. Because, look, Rondé knows him well. I've spent some time with him. That's how he is, man. That's how they think. That's how he thinks.
He's great, man.
He's awesome.
I just want a coach like that once in my life in football. I love the guy. He's great. Speaking of Mac, we had a little Mac-tion last night. Buffalo ran wild. Patterson, 301 yards, 4 touchdowns in their win over Bowling Green. So we want to know, does college football feel as normal as it's felt all season now with most conferences playing?
No, it still doesn't feel normal because every other day we get a cancellation of a game, or you know, program shut down, or you know, contact tracing, or whatever you want to say. You're talking about this MAC action. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, BT. They're playing in the middle of the week. They're playing a game Tuesday and Wednesday for the next 3 weeks, or next 2 weeks, I should say. So there's going to be a MAC game on tonight. And so it doesn't feel... But does it feel normal? No, of course it doesn't feel normal. It's 2020.
It doesn't... Nothing feels normal. You know, nothing feels normal about 2020. And Teague and I just... We got the alerts. New York City public schools are shut down now.
Tomorrow,
I know. Nothing crazy is normal about this year. MAC football, Pac-12 football at 9 in the morning. Nothing's normal. I mean, at 9 Eastern, as long as you're playing something, it's great. But no, it does not feel normal. All right, NBA releasing its 2020-2021 schedule in two parts, with the schedule for the second half expected to be released sometime in January or early February. What are our thoughts on the NBA holding off on releasing the schedule for the second half of the season? I think it's very smart.
Yeah.
I think it's very smart. Now, you think about this, because when we were young, when I know you know, growing up in Virginia, different, I'd go to Knick games all the time.
Yep.
And you would see, you'd get the schedule, you'd look in the newspaper, you'd go to a game, they'd have the, you know, the lit up board, you know, coming in next week, Kiki Vandeweghe and the Nuggets, whoever it was, right? Fat Lever and the Denver Nuggets. And you would kind of plan out what games you want to go to based on the schedule. Jordan's coming in, Ken McHale's coming with Bird. It's different because no fans are going.
No.
So you don't have to worry about allowing the plans, allowing the fans the room to plan.
Yep.
What this also does, more importantly, is that if there are a lot of games wiped out, you could then weigh it and say, well, say if the Celtics only play 9 games against the Eastern Conference based on wacky circumstances, maybe you can kind of find a way to flip that and make it more even and have them play, if they were scheduled to play a lot of Western Conference teams in the second half, if you put it out now, you're not married to it. You could adjust and you could live off that.
Agreed. I can't even add anything.
That's what I was trying to say.
It's just to buy time just in case things go awry.
Yep.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
Oh, God. I need some trades here. Come on, Knicks. Would you do something? Please do something. Teague, I don't think I'm going to get him. I think he's going to be. I want Halliburton. It's the player that I want. I want Tyrese Halliburton from Iowa State.
Why all of a sudden?
Well, no. There's been a few guys that I'm, you know, interested in for sure.
And we're talking about for the New York Knicks, by the way.
By the way, whomever gets. I mean, I should not bury the lead. I think Halliburton is going to prove to be one of the biggest winners in this draft. And, you know, we talk about him with Coach Avery Johnson. He's a guy. I wish his shot was pure. It's not pure. And he's not an uber athlete. But he's 6'5" as a point guard. He's got legitimate playmaking skills. He is brilliant. He is a leader. He is a winner. And when his feet are set, he doesn't miss, man. I just think he's going to be a really good player in the modern NBA. That's the guy that I want. I think he's going to be gone, but that's the guy that I want.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how much movement there is at the top. There might not be any, simply because there's so much uncertainty about it, really all of these guys. I mean, have they even seen these guys in person? Think about this. You come in to visit. That's what I mean. It's all Zooms. Like, you come in to see a guy, put your hands on him, and like, no, you're not. So you're kind of guessing.
Man, well, it'll be fun.
It will be. Regardless of what happens, it's going to be fun. But
I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. I do think we'll get trades with players in terms of trades with picks. I think we'll get some of those as well. I think Minnesota stays put. Maybe the Warriors bounce out of the 2 spot. Whatever happens, we'll hit it tomorrow. You know that. Enjoy the draft. Safe, sensible, sane. We'll see you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. audacy. Download it today.